You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Pablo Torre with Wilbon off. I'm back for another show, Tony.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. What have you done with Phil and Frank?
Really? How about, like, Proxy Pablo? Can we make that happen? Proxy Pablo. So, that's a nice substitute.
That's ridiculous. I so enjoyed doing the show with you yesterday. I really did. I thought it was really good.
Same.
Particularly when you talked about existential dilemmas and how they repeat themselves throughout the history of mankind. I really like that, because I was just going to talk about the Rams. How stupid am I? Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the kid and I talk about Alabama's coach taking a shot at Coach K, Tom Brady's happiness to be out of the Northeast, and Playoff P's legacy. Really? But we begin today with two stories on the Rams-Patriots game last night. And we will get to Cam Newton next, but let's start with the Rams dominating New England 24-3, even more than New England dominated the Rams in the Super Bowl. The Rams got 186 yards on the ground, 171 from Cam Akers, and Jared Goff had only one turnover. Pablo, the Rams are 9-4. Does this win make you take them seriously in the NFC?
Certainly seriously in the NFC, Tony, but I got to begin by owning my delusional allegiance to Bill Belichick that I expressed to you yesterday. Because watching this game, which I did not think would go this way, I felt like one of those soldiers wandering through Japan, not knowing that the war is over, that the empire has fallen. Like, oh, it's over. This New England thing, it's over. And so Jared Goff wasn't great. You know, he had one interception, but only one touchdown, less than 200 yards passing. Like, what I would call them right now, Tony, is a conditional contender. They're for real in the NFC, but if that run game is not as dominant as it was last night, if that defense, which is top five in the NFL, to be sure, isn't as good as it was last night, they can't rely on their quarterback even still. So I think they're conditionally in the hunt for a Super Bowl, but I have trouble not being skeptical still about them.
Can I go back for the people who didn't watch yesterday and talk about what we called the TPI, the Torre Probability Index?
91%.
In which you said 91% chance that the Patriots would win this game, they would win out and make the playoffs. I'm glad you're going to own up to that one, Sparky, because that one is going to be hung around your neck for a while. Now, let us move to this particular game. This is the result that I thought would happen. Now, I admit I was skeptical, because Goff has this weird thing of not being good at home and being better on the road. And I have enormous respect for Belichick as well. But I thought if it played out reasonably, you'd get a result like that. And that's what happened. Do I think of them as contenders? They have four losses. Only one of them is bad. When they were beaten at the buzzer by San Francisco, when it wasn't Garoppolo, when it was Nick Mullins. Do they have a signature win? No, because I don't think a win over Tampa Bay or Seattle, I don't think they have a signature win. So what it comes down to for me is I love the defense. They have a really good defense. But when you compare them to New Orleans and Green Bay, as you were doing, is Jared Goff as good as Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees, who'll be back by then? And the answer right now is no. But I'll give you a very cool little statistic. Right now, Sean McVay's record after 61 games as a coach is 42-19. And Bill Belichick's record in his last 61 games is 42-19. I'm not saying you have to equate the two. I'm just saying.
Tony, on Belichick, though, Jarrett Stidham finished the game at quarterback for the Patriots, but Belichick says Cam Newton is still his starter, even though Newton was just 9 of 16 for 119 yards with a pick six before getting yanked. And Cam has now thrown 10 interceptions on the season against just 5 touchdown passes. He has 11 rushing touchdowns in his defense. But Tony, what is Cam's future in New England at this point and in general?
So I think he's a one and done in New England. I mean, it was a wonderful pickup. It was not a lot of money for the Patriots. It was a chance for Cam Newton to go play for the best coach in football. Everybody tried their best. It doesn't seem to have particularly worked out. Cam Newton can't pass. I mean, he can't pass anymore. You can't be an NFL quarterback if you can't pass. When your offensive coordinator gives you fewer than 20 passes in every game, that's a concession that it can't be done. So I don't think he stays with the Patriots next year. I don't know if he's in the league next year, if this is who he is now.
Yeah, it all seems unsustainable. Cam Newton as the starter, Cam Newton as an NFL quarterback. And I say that because the way they use him, Tony, it's not just that they can't protect him, which they cannot. He was hit 10 times, sacked 6 times by a porous offensive line in New England. Beyond that, though, it's the fact that the way they use him, by definition, means he is unprotected. They run him. It's this weird inverse of a game management strategy where, hey, we know he can't pass. We're just going to run him short all the time, which just means that that body that you alluded to, which is fundamentally broken at this point, the shoulder, the foot, the COVID stuff, which we don't fully understand either, all that stuff seems ripe for a really ugly ending.
So let me just say this. I applaud wholeheartedly what Belichick said when he said Cam is our quarterback. I think good coaches back their players publicly. I suspect that people on that team admire Cam Newton because he'll stick his head in there every time you call his number. He gets stopped at the goal line. He gets pounded, but he continues to work hard. He had one of the greatest college seasons of all time in Auburn, and he had some good seasons, you know, for the Panthers, and one great one when he was MVP of the league. Mm-hmm. MVP of the entire league.
Incredible.
But at that point, Pablo, he was a dual threat. He could run and pass. He just can't pass. I don't know what you do with that.
Tony, I think of Andrew Luck when I watch Cam Newton, not because they're similar in any way, but just because, this is why Andrew Luck is not playing this sport anymore, because he wanted to avoid an ending, a conclusion to a otherwise really good career that looks like this.
Yeah, no, I get it. I find myself admiring the effort, but wondering if it's passed him by at this point.
Same.
Pablo, had you ever heard of Nate Oates? I hadn't. Apparently, he's the basketball coach at Alabama, and he has a bone to pick with Mike Krzyzewski about pausing this season. Nate Oates doesn't want to pause anything, and he took a shot at Krzyzewski. Let's listen.
Do you think if Coach K hadn't lost the 2-9 conference games at home, if he'd still be saying that?
Probably not.
Okay. I just wanted you to say it, not me.
Pablo, is that a fair shot at Krzyzewski?
No, and we have, evidence to adjudicate this matter with, right? Did Coach K say what he said? Hey, we got to slow down, maybe start this thing in 2021. Did he say that before the season started, before he got to the point where he is with the record being embarrassing? He did. Him and Rick Pitino, unlikely allies in college basketball wisdom here, have been very clear about this long before Coach K and Duke seemed to scuffle. And I know, Tony, this is about 94-95 with Duke, right? And Coach K stepping away and letting Pete Godette take all those losses in that season that still hangs over Coach K clearly. But to me, ignore the messenger for a second. Evaluate the message, and the message seems quite logical if you don't have blinders on in this planet.
Yeah, so, I mean, I can't tell you that if Krzyzewski hadn't lost those two games at Cameron Indoor, that he wouldn't have said this. I mean, I don't know. But I go back a long time with him. I go back to the Army days, even before Duke. And I have liked Mike Krzyzewski a lot for a long time. Can he be pious? Oh, sure. He can have piety with the best of them. I've seen that. But to your point, ask yourself, forget the losses for a second, and ask yourself, is what he's saying make sense? And it does make sense. This particular season so far, this college basketball season, is like driving an old car on a dirt road. You're just bumping around. You never know when it's going to break down. I mean, I thought it was a cheap shot. How about you?
It was a cheap shot, and Nate Oates went on to say that he really wants to keep playing this season for the kids. And that, look, if we're going to have any hypocrisy identified today on this program, let it be that. Let it be the idea that Nate Oates is out here being selfless for his players, as opposed to, if I may quote yourself, to yourself, like, the answer to all these questions is money, right? Nate Oates wants to do this. College basketball wants to do this because there is money at the end of this regular season rainbow. That's why they care so much about playing right now.
So I want you to just sit there and listen for a while, because I'm going to go on for a while. If I were Mike Krzyzewski, this is exactly what I would do. I would get a picture of Nate Oates. I would put it in my bathroom so that I could see it every single day, so that I could focus my hatred on Nate Oates. And then I would call my AD and I would say this. I would say, get Alabama in here. Get them on our schedule. Give them any guarantee that they want. And then I would go out and I would try to beat Nate Oates by all the points the law allows. And that would not even satisfy me. Then I would schedule the University of Buffalo, where Nate Oates coached before, and I'd try to beat them by 100. Then I'd go to Wisconsin Whitewater, the old Warhawks, where he was an assistant, and try to beat them by 100. And then I would go to Romulus High School in Michigan, where he coached, and try to beat them by 200. If I was Mike Krzyzewski, I would unleash all the fury of Duke and my five, count them, five championships. I don't know how many Oates he has. And I would aim them at this guy, because that would bother me. If I were Mike Krzyzewski, I don't know if Mike will do that.
You are, let's you take are a break. Known for your piety, Tony.
Yeah. Yeah, among other things. Let's take a break. But coming up, Tom Brady has long been dormant in December. Will that continue this month?
And Paul George is saying he owes a trophy to the Clippers, Tony. Will he deliver on that?
Did I say dormant? I meant to say dominant. I'm dormant this month at my age. He's been dominant.
I think the message was clear. Just guessing.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Captain Morgan. There's more fun to be had. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Ah, welcome back to the PTI Psychic Hotline, where I have earrings older than Pablo. Hark, I sense the first call.
Tony and Pablo, do you see Tom Brady having a dominant December?
He better have a dominant December. He better beat Minnesota on Sunday, or they fall behind Minnesota in a wild card, and maybe they're out of the playoffs. I don't know what's going on with that team. I don't know what Bruce Arians is trying to do with Tom Brady, except sabotage him. Because Tom Brady now leads the NFL quarterbacks in throwing the ball deep. Throws the ball deep more than anybody else. He's 43 years old. In New England in recent years, he threw the ball short to tight ends and running backs. So I don't get this. I don't know. His record is fantastic. It's like 68-19, right, in December and January in the regular season. But I don't know what he's got now.
What's troubling, Tony, is that you sound like Byron Leftwich, his offensive coordinator, who was asked, hey, Tom Brady's really good at play action. Why aren't you guys doing more play action? Because you guys do it, like, really at the bottom of the list. And Byron Leftwich, quote, said, I don't know. Like, that's not a good sign. I have many questions about Bruce Arians and Leftwich, but the good news, as you say, is they get the Vikings, they get the Falcons, they get the Lions, and the Falcons again. So Tom Brady is undone by pressure. He's not going to be pressured very much in these games in December.
But if they lose two of those, they're out. They got to win at least three of those. And Tom Brady has now said he's never going to live in the Northeast again. That's going to make Wilbon happy, I believe. What's next?
Hey, guys. Do you see Paul George delivering the trophy? He says he owes the Clippers.
So I like the fact that he says he owes them one. The last guy to say that was Julius Erving over 40 years ago with Philadelphia. And he got one, but he had to wait for Moses Malone to get there. Would you say that Paul George is as good as Julius Erving? I wouldn't necessarily say that. I have no idea why they gave this guy a max extension. Maybe it was for the game 7, where he was 4 of 16 with 5 turnovers. Or maybe it was because he criticized Doc Rivers on the way out. He actually talked about his legacy. Hey, LeBron James can be concerned with a legacy. Paul George cannot be concerned with a legacy.
But I think you're being a little cruel to Paul George here, Tony. I think he is an all-NBA talent when he's healthy. Last year, he was coming off of double shoulder surgery. Both shoulders got operated on. So he was not himself, although that doesn't really entirely explain him bricking a 3 off the side of the backboard. To your credit, I understand that. But the whole thing about owing, like, there is a balancing of the balance sheets that's going on here, because keep in mind, they got him, the Clippers did, for 5 first-round picks. And he had the opportunity to leave after this year. The 3rd year of that contract was not guaranteed. So at the very least, he's ensuring that the Clippers aren't going to lose him for a price that would have been truly insane if that's all they got out of him.
I'm just going to say this. At the money he makes now, I would trade him even up for James Harden today. I would do that. And I'd roll the dice with Harden and Kawhi rather than with Paul George and Kawhi. But that's just me. The phone lines are closed. Let's take one last break. But in our future, I see us talking about the Phillies hiring Dave Dombrowski.
And the NBA fines Kyrie Irving. So will he talk with the media when the Nets play on Sunday night?
So I know you like Paul George, and so does Wilbon, and that's fine. But I'm saying he doesn't deliver in the most clutch situations, right?
The playoff thing doesn't help. It's the branding, I think, that's the problem here. Don't call yourself that. We'll give you a longer leash. But the self-appointed nickname is just, yeah.
Happy time, people. Happy 70th birthday, Gorman Thomas. One of the great nicknames right here, Stormin' Gorman Thomas. He was a traditional power-hitting outfielder, going for home runs, not average, when he played in Milwaukee for manager Harvey Keene. And so, along with future Hall of Famers Robin Yount, Paul Molitor and Ted Simmons, and Cecil Cooper and Ben Ogilvy, they were known as Harvey's Wall Bangers, another great nickname. Thomas led the American League twice in homers. In 1979, he hit 45. In 1982, he tied Reggie Jackson with 39. To illustrate the kind of free swinger he was, Thomas also led the American League in strikeouts twice. In 1979, he had 175 of them. In all, Thomas played 13 seasons, 11 with Milwaukee. He had 268 homers and he batted 225. Thomas also developed a line of mustard-based barbecue sauce called Stormin' Sauce, featuring yellow mustard, apple cider vinegar, Worcestershire sauce, sea salt, and molasses. Thomas created it for pulled pork, but of course, he says, you can put it on anything.
Tony, that all happened before I was born, but I often combine barbecue sauce and blue cheese to make my own sweet and sour, so his legacy does sound delicious, honestly.
Most barbecue sauce is not yellow. His is yellow because of the specific yellow mustard that he uses. A not-so-happy anniversary, Sean Kemp. Around this day, 31 years ago, the Supersonics rookie faced Larry Bird for the first time and got torched for 40 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists. And it was personal. This past week, Kemp revealed all on the Knuckleheads podcast with former NBA players Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles. Kemp wrongly said that Bird scored 50 points, not 40, but it must have felt like 50. Kemp said, quote, I'm from Indiana and Larry's from Indiana. I knew about the history of Larry, but I didn't realize how he really got down. At the jump ball, Larry asked me, you're the guy who broke all my records in high school, right? And I was like, yeah, that's me. And Larry said, you're the one that used to dunk on my brother Eddie too, right? And I said, yeah, that's me. And Larry said, I got something for you tonight. And he talked to me the entire game, every shot he was calling, unquote. On a personal note, this story is tremendous. Much credit to Sean Kemp for telling it.
And on a personal note for me, this is how I learned that Eddie Bird was a person. Should I have known about Eddie Bird, Tony? This is shocking to me.
No, I didn't know about him either. I mean, Larry Bird, if you're going to talk about birds, there's Larry Bird, and then there's Admiral Bird, and then there's Sue Bird, and I think that's all you have to know. All right? That's what I'm thinking right now, anyway. Happy trails to Dave Dombrowski's unemployment. The Philadelphia Phillies have hired Dombrowski to run their disappointing team. The 64-year-old Dombrowski, who won championships for the Red Sox and Marlins and took the Tigers to two World Series as GM, has the reputation as a free spender of other people's money. His task is to get the Phillies to the playoffs, where they haven't been since 2011. That's the longest drought in the National League. He's splashy. He brought Chris Sale, J.D. Martinez, and David Price to Boston, and he's hands-on. He makes almost every trip with the team. Dombrowski needs to fix the Phillies' bullpen, which had a 7.06 ERA last season. And he has to decide whether to keep catcher J.T. Realmuto, who is a free agent. But the everyday lineup was solid. It should be. The Phillies have the fifth highest payroll in baseball, much of it going to Bryce Harper. It is a very tough division with the Braves, who are really good, the Mets, who now have money to spend, the Marlins, who just made the playoffs, and the Nationals, who won the 2019 World Series. As a Nats fan, the thought of Dombrowski running the Phillies makes me uneasy.
Minor leaguers in the Phillies system should also feel uneasy because he's going to trade all of them for help right now.
He's awfully good. He really is. Let's go to the big finish. The NBA fined the Nets and Kyrie Irving $25,000 apiece for his refusal to make himself available to the media. Do you think he'll be more open going forward?
When did the preseason become the McCarthy hearings? This is the softest part of media availability, Tony, so no. The NBA preseason starts tonight specifically. Is that too soon?
If you think that's too soon, the regular season starts in 11 days, and it just ended like 9 days ago. Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy says the team will be better from this experience. Really? Do you agree with that?
I will agree with it when I see more watermelons being smashed like Gallagher. Chiefs and Dolphins on Sunday, you're smelling upset.
The Dolphins are really good. Brian Flores could be coach of the year, but the Chiefs are the best team in football, so no, I don't. Last one, Steelers and Bills on Sunday night. Who you got?
The TPI is giving the Bills a 67% chance, so take that to the bank.
Tremendous. We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Pablo Torre. Thank you so much for watching, and please check out ESPN Daily on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts.
You were great, and you dressed up, and you made me proud, and I'm so happy to do the show with you. Elizabeth Lauren Kornheiser, happy birthday.
Elizabeth.
I know you don't like the pub, but come on. Come on.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.